In this video, we'll discuss branding SharePoint Online using custom styles. Let's start with a quick review of Cascading Style Sheets, or CSS. CSS are rules that set styles like color, font, size, positioning, and background images in a web page. Selectors are used to find elements to apply styles to. You can select by ID, select by class. You can use selectors to find siblings and ancestors of other elements. You can also use pseudo classes like visited and hover to select elements based on their current state. The cascading aspect of CSS determines what rule to apply if multiple rules apply to an element. In general, the most specific style defined latest in the page will be applied. Now let's take a look at using SharePoint alternate CSS to style your site. SharePoint Online allows you to create a custom style sheet to override the SharePoint styles. This includes setting fonts and colors, background images, and hiding and repositioning elements. You upload your style sheet to the style library. It's a best practice to use a subfolder to separate, for example, style library slash contoso slash style.css. You then set a reference to that CSS file via site settings. SharePoint will ensure that it references your custom style sheet after the default styles. Themable styles take custom CSS a step further. They allow your styles to take advantage of the currently applied theme. For this to work, style sheets must be in a themable location. This means a themable folder in a style library, either directly under the style library or under a language-specific folder, like ENUS. Again, you can place these styles in a subfolder to keep them grouped together logically. SharePoint theme comments are then used to define how to apply the theme to a style. You can replace a font, color, or even recolor an image based on the currently selected theme. Here are some other SharePoint CSS tips. You should use the IE developer tools or Firefox's Firebug to identify style elements to override. The common elements you will be overriding are often prefixed with S4- in the classes for the main styles or MS-WP for web parts. You can note that the S4-NotDialog class is used to hide elements when modal dialogs are shown. In addition, you can review the core v4.css for the full list of styles. You'll note that some styles are defined as body and then pound the element ID. For those styles, you need to match this specificity to make sure that your style overrides the style defined by SharePoint. It's also a good tip to reference your images relative to the style sheet. Let's switch over to Visual Studio and take a look at a demonstration of branding SharePoint Online with custom styles. We've now opened Visual Studio 2010. I have a SharePoint project called Branding with Alternate CSS open. I've already created a module for my style library. It has a subfolder for the English US language and a Contoso Alternate Style folder to organize all my style assets. Currently, I have a Contoso logo and a header gradient file. These are images that we'll use. I'm going to add a new item. So I'm going to go and find the template for style sheet. I'm going to add a style sheet called Contoso Alternate Style.css. Now I'm going to make an edit to the elements.xml file. Just like all the other files in here, I want to add the ghostable in library attribute. This indicates the file should be treated as uncustomized when it's deployed. Back to my CSS file, I'm going to get rid of the default style and I'm going to add some styles that I came up with. Let's take a look at those styles. The first takes the S4 title class. And this is going to override the SharePoint default S4-title class rules. It's going to set the background to my header gradient PNG image. The next rule is going to set the background color for the left navigation area. So I'm going to save my style sheet and close the file. Next, I'm going to add a feature receiver to enable the alternate CSS. So I'm going to find my feature, I'm going to right click and say add feature receiver. First thing I'm going to do is add a new using statement. And add the utilities namespace. Next, I'm going to add a helper method. This sets a constant that will map to my style library style folder and adds a helper method to create a URL to any of my style assets. Next, I'm going to get rid of the feature activated that was part of the template and insert my own. Let's take a look at this code. So this is the custom code that's going to run after my feature is activated. Using the properties that it receives, it's going to open up my SP site and SP web, and then it's going to check in all of the files so that they'll be applied properly. Finally, it's going to set the alternate CSS and site logo using my helper method to create the proper paths. It'll then call update on the web to save the changes. Finally, with this event receiver, I'm going to replace the feature deactivating. Again, let's look at this code. So this is the custom code that's going to run before the feature is deactivated. And here it's simply cleanup. Once again, we're going to open the site and the web, and we're going to reset the alternate CSS URL and the site logo URL. We're going to set those back to empty strings, and then update the web by calling the update method. I'm going to save and close that file. And then we're all set to build and deploy to SharePoint Online. Now you can see my SharePoint Online site. It has the default styles applied. I'm going to go into my solution gallery, and you can see the branding with alternate CSS solution has been copied up into the solution gallery. I'm going to click on this and click Activate, and click Activate in the dialog. And now you can see my changes have taken place. Let's go look at them on the home page. Here you can see my Contoso logo. My gradient shading has been applied to the top as a background image, and I've changed the color on the left navigation.